Welcome to Jeremy Chats with Coaches. My name is Jeremy West. I'm your host, and today I have Nathan Francis with me.
Hello, Jeremy. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on, Nathan. Just as a start, can I just get you to describe for me and my listeners who is Nathan Francis and what drew you into the world of coaching?
Hey, well, Nathan Francis is a coach. He's a writer. He's a blogger. He's a podcast host himself, so we might be able to, I'll interview you one day, mate. Be good. I sort of was heading down an interesting, we'll say, dark path prior to 2020, and that lifestyle of drinking and partying and doing those things young boys do was taking its toll on me, and it was that 2020 year where I really went in deep with some world truths and my own truths and was able to quit some things that were holding me back from ever stepping into my true potential. And then I came across some awesome mentors, some awesome people in my life to help me through my stuff, to then give me the tools to help me through it. Then I thought, well, if I can do it on myself and I can transform myself to even be on a podcast like this today, then I can do that for other people all over the world. So that's sort of what started me off on the journey, was having those people around me that I reached out, asked for help, and got people on my side to sort of coach me along. Well, then I can then circle back and be that person for many others. And it's sort of started me off on this path now as a coach and a writer and different things. And it's been an awesome journey thus far. And yeah, I'm only 4 years in. I'm keen for the rest of it. So that's sort of mean a 2 minute spiel for you.
Thank you. That's fantastic, Nathan. So then, first up, I'll just ask, did you have a rock bottom or did you just sort of decide you were done?
Good question. Yeah, I had a rock bottom 2.5 years ago. So the start of 2021. So I'm Australian. Bob, you might have some listeners from Australia. I'm not too sure, but there is a sporting code down here called the AFL, which is a football code, which is a sport. And they had their grand final on this particular night in 2021. And I remember I'd already started this journey of bettering myself, and alcohol was still kind of the one thing I was doing. And I remember looking myself in the mirror and I said to myself that night that I'll never do this again. This is my last night, and that is it. Like, no more drinking, no more being immature, no more chasing women, and no more living that lifestyle. So fast forward 12 hours at 5 a.m. on that Sunday morning, I remember sitting on a plastic fold-out table talking to three young girls, and I was 26, so they would have been no older than 20, and I'm sitting on a plastic fold-out table talking to them, and I remember falling through that table and hitting the concrete. So I feel like that moment was my rock bottom moment to bounce me out of what I was in to then take that next step, because I'll never forget that next day. I was pretty tired, pretty hungover, pretty flat from some other substances I did that night too. And I remember listening to a podcast one of my first mentors did through a mutual friend. And I listened to that podcast on self-sabotage, and I ticked every box from negative thoughts to having women come into my life and self-destructing, to alcohol, obviously, to poisoning myself through all those substances I was talking about. And through good things would happen in my life, I would sabotage some of those things subconsciously. So when he was talking, he really hammered home some truths to me, and I ticked every box and labeled myself the king of self-sabotage. So that set me off on the journey to then he opened up his coaching program, his coaching school called, it is a self-sabotage psychological reprogramming institute through Jason Kristoff, is the mentor. He's a Canadian and did the program like I had to do it, and he opened it up and I just had that feeling. I was like, I have to do this. I've got to sort myself out and then we'll sort the rest out. And sorting the rest out was fantastic, because not only did it help me go into my own patterning and my own programs, it then enabled me to then learn about this information of the mind to then go and help others the same way I helped myself. And it's been an incredible transformation. I'm very grateful that I looked at myself in the mirror that night and set that intention to never drink again, because my life has only gotten better since that moment. Even though I hit the table and hit the concrete, but from that moment onwards, my life has just gotten better and better.
You know, it's interesting, because I wonder if you would have kept that commitment had you not fallen to the table and hit the concrete.
Not sure. I'm not sure where I'd be.
We'll never know. We'll never know.
But too much, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's been a wonderful of yours. Who, I'm assuming there are people like you in the situation you were in. Who are your clients? Who are the people attracted to your coaching?
So for me, I focus a lot on the youth of today. So teenagers, young adults, I'd go an age bracket from 12 to 40, really concentrating on that age group because I feel like, well, especially the 12s, to they're our future, right? You know, and I often say, we leave this place better than when we found it, meaning Earth. And I feel like a lot of us haven't left this place better than when we found it. And one of the values I have is ensuring that this place, when we leave, is better than when we found it. And we look around the world right now and we can see that this place is no better than what it was 30 years ago. It's getting worse. So we can turn this ship around, and I'm here to help steer that ship in the right direction.
So, yeah, okay, so your clients, the ones you're most focused on are teenagers and young adults.
Yep.
And how do they end up? What do they come to you with at first?
They come to me with a handout asking for help. You know, sometimes it's just that I just need to talk, and I'll provide them a space to be heard and to just see if we're the right fit and if my story sort of resonates with them, which it usually does, and if we're the right fit, then the coaching will begin. And yeah, it's one-on-one. I've got group programs out as well. And yeah, if someone ever just needs someone to just be there, I'm more than happy to be that person to just sit and listen. Because in my life, if I'd have had someone to sit and listen to me 13, 14 years ago, who knows, I'd be in a bit of a different spot now. But yeah, I just like being that person for the young people that will just listen, because when I was young, I didn't have a lot of people in my life that would listen.
Yeah, so yeah. You're providing for these young people what you didn't have yourself.
Yeah.
What would you say is the core philosophy behind your coaching?
Core philosophy would be to provide a space for my clients to shift their perception of themselves, especially themselves and their environment, to implement change, which can then have a ripple effect in their lives in a positive way where they can experience the most amazing transformation, because it happened to me. Spiritually, fantastic. Emotionally, physically, mentally, and financially.
So can you encapsulate that maybe into one sentence, your core philosophy?
Core philosophy is to help change your perception of yourself and the world to create the life of your dreams.
Fantastic. So what would you say is the result? What is, by following your coaching, what's the result that your clients end up with?
I show them how this part of the subconscious mind really works and how it's programmed from when we were kids to where they are now, and how you're living part of your life, or sometimes all your life, in autopilot. And I help show you you're not broken. You're just running on programs that you've picked up in your environment on a repetition basis when you're a child, and that we can help shift those and transform those and reprogram towards the life of your dreams. And now, we all had dreams as kids. I know I did. And it's about going back to that, or going back to a dream that you had and steering it in the right direction so that you can achieve it.
So the end result is that they achieve their dreams because they have been able to find
it, or they're on the path. Well, they're on the right path to achieving it, yeah.
Yes, yes. Good. Could you share with us then a success story where your coaching made a real difference in a client's life?
Yeah, I've got two stories for you. So one, a client I had that was 19, is now 20. Good friend of mine now, she lives far away from me, but we were from the same hometown, and she had 3 sessions with me last year. After the 3rd session, she moved out of her family home. She moved states and started this whole new life. And I thought, that's pretty impressive. She just upped and left her old environment and created something pretty special up where I live now. And yeah, I sort of took some inspiration from that myself to be like, well, wow, maybe I can do that. So 3 months later, I packed my bags and did the exact same thing.
But you ended up in the same spot.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, so we're about half an hour away from each other now. It's pretty awesome.
So whereabouts are you located?
So I was in Victoria, near Melbourne, for those that are in Australia. I've now moved 2 states north. I'm now in Queensland on the Sunshine Coast.
Sunnycrest, okay. I know it's probably noticed I have an American accent, but I actually live in Australia for the last 19 years. So what drew you to the sunny coast?
The energy, the people. My brother and I went on a trip last year. We just packed the car one day and just made it happen. We went on a trip up the northeast coast of Australia and we found ourselves on the coast and thought, wow, we could probably set up camp here and make it happen. So we went back to Victoria and put in a lot of work to get ourselves in a position to be able to go, right, we can make a move. So that happened in August of last year. So yeah, we just went on a trip 2 years ago and found our home. So we, you know, put it out there and made it happen.
Good deal. Mm. All right. Well, that's fantastic. So with your clients, what would you say are some common challenges that they face? And how do you help them through those obstacles?
We can break this up into age groups. So the 16 to 25s is usually the same. It's a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, depression, a lot of substance, I don't even want to say abuse, but a lot of substance use, we'll say, like alcohol and drugs and all these things. And the common theme is always something in their childhood that happened to them that they're still holding onto. Might be a relationship with a parent, might be a relationship in their lives, like a partner romantically. Might even just be something that happened to them that they're still sort of haven't dealt with properly, and they're sort of using these things to sort of numb the reality and numb the pain of that. So I help them understand the situation, give them the clarity to then be like, well, this is why, well, this happened to you from the start. We can forgive and let the emotions out and go to then take that next step towards what's next rather than holding on to what was. Makes sense. I feel like it did.
yeah, definitely.
And the common theme from 30 to 45 from clients I've had is simply just regret of not of the way they lived their youth, right? Might have been, oh, I slept with too many women, which is something I did, which I don't regret anymore. They were lessons for me to grow. Could be regret of working in a job that they didn't necessarily like, and they're holding on to the choices they made in their youth that is now impacting their lives from 30 plus. That seems to be a common occurrence. And some of that childhood stuff too, like, I feel like there's a lot of, don't even want to sound mean here, but there's a lot of adults in, well, there's a lot of children in adults' bodies getting around the moment. They're not necessarily emotionally mature. And it's about making them more consciously aware of their emotions and how their life's been to implement that change, if that makes sense too. So I'm seeing a lot of that on a deep level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a limited understanding of drug abuse, but it seems to me that the drug abuse isn't actually the problem, that the drug abuse is an attempt for a solution. So I'm thinking that with your clients, you generally have to find what it is that, what are they trying to self-medicate? And I was just going to ask if you're okay sharing it. What did you find in yourself you were having to self-medicate?
Well, that's a good question. And we can go as deep as we can here. So for me, it started with porn. So internet porn came in when I was, so I'm 29. So internet porn came when I was like 8 or 9. This is as deep as, this is the root of mine. So I'll just be about a minute spiel. So porn for me was the first thing. So when I was a kid, porn was the first thing. It's like that naked woman on a screen. It's like, oh, wow. You know, like, this is pretty cool. Get those feelings and those sensations. I remember a buddy of mine down the road said, oh, come around and we'll, you know, I've got found this awesome website of some beautiful women that are naked. I'm like, oh, what's that? So we jumped on and had a look, and that was sort of my start to porn. Like, I watched porn for 21 or 22 years. So porn was my first thing. And then as you get older, you pick up the alcohol. You know, all my buddies were doing it, so I was doing it too. And I was just doing it because they were doing it. But then it became an escape mechanism from the stuff I had going on in my life at the time. Around the time, I had some family stuff going on in my house that I was escaping from. I was also running away from myself and my fears and things that I hadn't necessarily dealt with. So alcohol became an escape. Porn was there too. So then porn became sex. So then for me, it was porn, alcohol, and then sex. So I was addicted to porn. wasn't really addicted to alcohol, but I was addicted to sex too, where I would then run away with a woman to escape what I had going on. So it was sort of just working in unison together, was the porn, the alcohol and the sex for about 10 years. And it wasn't until I actually slowed down, stopped and realized that, hey, there's some really dark stuff going on in my life that I'm sort of running away from here. And I wasn't consciously aware of it until I slowed down. I went, whoa, what's going on here? Why am I running away? Let's quit those things and start to unpack why I was doing it. So as I was unpacking it all and quit alcohol and quit porn and went on I'm on a celibacy journey now. So I haven't had physical contact with a woman for 2 years, and I needed to go on that journey to understand how to actually treat a woman, because the way I was doing it was just not aligned with me anymore. So there was that. And then I used exercise as a form of really self-sabotage too, because the way this part of the mind, the subconscious, works is you seek familiar and safety. So for me, I was seeking familiar and safety in comforting porn and sex and alcohol. Well, I quit those things. Then I was finding familiar safety and comfort in exercising, where I was running 140K a week, riding probably the same amount. I was doing that much exercise, my body started to break down. Like, I was getting shin splints, pain in the hips, feet pains. Like, my body wasn't ready to take on that amount of training, but I was still, in that sense, I was literally running away from ever going to that dark place. And it wasn't until I actually sat with myself, got some guidance, that I could actually go to that dark place and go, right, that's my shadow. I acknowledge you. I appreciate you. I love you. You've shaped who I am today. Now let's write this comeback story. And you're always there with me, but I'm not going to hold on to you and run away from you. I'm going to let you in and show me what it is you've been trying to tell me. And my shadow was, hey, there's some traumas here from your childhood. There's some traumas here from your house that had a lot going on in your environment. Deal with those. Deal with the people. Forgive, let go, move forward. And that was sort of been my journey with all of that, was forgive, let go, move forward. That makes sense?
Yeah, that might actually answer. I'm wondering if that's going to answer another question that I like to ask, which is, what is one piece of wisdom that you consistently find yourself giving to pretty much anyone who will listen?
Well, I've got there's two mottos that I give and that I sort of use as my little, like, you could call it catchphrase motto: patience, resilience, and discipline. They're the three core values that I've still learning. You know, if you don't get perfect at these things, you're always working towards that. So patience, resilience, and discipline are the three core ones. And then forgive, let go, and move forward.
I thought forgive, let go, and move forward would be, yeah.
Yeah.
With the first one, I think I understand. Let's see, what were the three again for the first one?
Patience, resilience, and discipline.
So I understand the patience and the resilience. Where does the discipline come in?
Well, for me, discipline would be, right, because porn was such a big thing for me to run away to. And I think it's going to be resonating with a lot of young boys out there, because I think porn's a really big thing. And it's being disciplined with that energy of that, like, we all have these needs, these desires, and these wants that come up. And the sexual energy is quite a powerful energy. And it's about being disciplined with that energy and those temptations towards that thing. I tend to use that sexual energy to build my life, to build myself, to make content, to talk on a podcast like this, to go to the gym. I'm not just going to sit there and allow the temptation to just override me to a point where I'm putting porn on, and I'm going to use that to then rid myself of my life force energy. I'm going to hold on to that life force energy and be disciplined to go, no, I'm going to use that energy not to watch a woman and two people on a screen. I'm going to go, no, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to write a blog. I'm going to talk on a podcast to Jeremy. I'm going to do these things with that energy that's building my life. It's not necessarily depleting myself of it, but I'm using that energy to transform my life and myself, rather than sitting at a screen and depleting myself of all that vital life force energy, which is what a lot of young people are doing at the moment. That makes sense. So being disciplined in my habits, being disciplined in the things that I do to build what I want to build.
Yeah, that's interesting. So when you channel that energy into something more productive, do you find that you get the same sort of payoff in chemicals in your brain that you were wanting?
Yeah, it's
from
more
the,
of a, I find it as more of a lot of people and boys out there are seeking that instant gratification, that instant dopamine hit. When you sort of channel that energy into something else, it's like a delayed gratification. It's a delayed dopamine hit. Like you're putting in the work now to get the rewards later, rather than, oh no, I'll just put porn on and that's the easy way. You know, I'll just get my dopamine hit and I'll just ejaculate and that's my dopamine hit. It's like, you know, you're doing the work now to then get your rewards and everything else later. It's more of a delayed gratification rather than, oh no, I'll have the alcohol, oh no, I'll have the smoke, oh no, I'll have the vape, oh no, I'll watch TV, oh no, I'll watch porn, where you're getting that instant dopamine hit right away. You're sort of turning your back on that and you're getting a delayed gratification. That's how I see it.
Yeah, and so I guess one question would be, would you be counseling or coaching people to never use porn at all?
I wouldn't say to never use it. I would say that I would give them the tools and the information. Like I would say the women on there are being trafficked. It's two people on a screen. If you're looking for a romantic partner, you're necessarily not going to find it watching porn. Go out there and talk to a real woman. Go out there and talk to a real man and put in that groundwork that we used to put in before these dating apps came here, and going back to our old sort of ways of living where, you know, a conversation with someone face-to-face is better than swiping left and right on Tinder. So I sort of say, look, you know, porn, you know, you got two people on a screen, the women probably trafficked, it's a really horrific industry, you're supporting something that's not really aligned with your values and who you are, so you could probably carve that aside, but it's about going in deep is that subconscious mind program of why are you watching it. You know, were you drawn to porn as a kid? Was it used like me as an escape from reality, an escape from my life? Like we go to the how and the why they're using it to then be like, well, how can we flip that script so that you're not really going to use that again? So it's about not quitting it straight away. It's like a resistance, right? You know, you can carb it for a bit. Your resistance might be 3 days. It's like, oh, awesome, 3 days. Give yourself a hug, be like, right. I put it on today. I've got 3 days. It's great. Well, next time it's longer. And it's about making it longer and longer. And that resistance will get to a point where you're like, you know what? I don't need that anymore. You know, it's been 3 months and hey, don't feel like I need it now. I can build this now and go over here and do this. It's a journey rather than just a quit straight away. You know, it's about progression, not perfection.
Yeah. And then it's also, it sounds like it's not about the quitting, it's more about replacing it with something else that will, as you say, be giving you a delayed reward, but a bigger reward. So, yeah. Good. So, do you give out sort of homework to your clients? A lot of coaches do.
Oh, it's a good one. Good question. I don't necessarily call it homework, but I'll give them tools like we can make a vision board, like make some goals together, or they can go away and make some goals and come back in the next session. Like, oh, here's what I've sort of come up with. I sort of give them, it's not really homework, it's like evolution transformation work. So it'd be like, well, you might be holding on to something to do with your mother or your father. So it's like, well, I'll give you a meditation or an Hawaiian prayer, which is, I love you, thank you. Oh no, it's, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, which is the Hawaiian prayer. I'll give them something like that and they can call that person in and forgive that person, let it go. Or it might be something as simple as, hey, you know what? You're holding a lot of stuff onto your mum there that's holding you back from X, Y, Z. Maybe write her a letter. Don't give it to her, but you can burn it. Write her a letter and put all your feelings and all your emotions out and then burn the letter at the end and be like, well, that's sort of like an evolution transformation type work. So it's different for each person. It could simply be a meditation or a hypnosis recording that they can listen to for a couple of nights or for a week or two, and then we come back and see each other and go, well, how do you feel now after having 2 weeks of an awesome lady in your ear telling you how much she loves you and how much you love yourself and how transformative has that been for you? So it's different for each person, but, yeah, something as simple as writing a letter to a loved one that you're sort of holding on all this stuff with is something that I'll be like, hey, maybe you should, before our next session, write that letter and see what comes up and then burn it.
That reminds me of a meme that I saw or heard recently, which was my coach told me to write letters to everyone that I'm angry with and then burn them. But then what do I do with the letters? Okay. Anyway, just wanted to finish off with two final questions, and they're basically to make sure that we're not missing anything. So if your answer is no to both questions, that's fine. But if you've got something, that's great as well. So firstly, is there anything that we started talking about, Nathan, that you didn't get to say as much as you wanted to because we went off in a different direction?
Well, we did go off a couple of different directions, didn't we? Yeah, there is. If you're stuck, if you're struggling, if you're listening to this and I happen to resonate, that's awesome. You can find me on teenageselfsabotage.com. My Facebook's Nathan Francis. Instagram's Nathan Francis. And you can find me and all my contact information's there. My podcast is called Breaking Free. You can find it on all your mainstream platforms. But if you are stuck and you are struggling and you are going through this journey now, where I was, or you could be in a different place, different dark place, just know that A, you're not alone, and B, we're not born this way. We're not born to be, we're not broken. We're not born this way. There's just programs, belief systems. There's so much stuff there that's sort of holding you back, that's keeping you where you are, that we can easily transform. We can easily move forward. We can easily let this stuff go, and we can move forward into the version that you see yourself being rather than this current one. And it's just remembering that A, you're not alone, and B, not broken, you're working as designed, and you were definitely not born this way.
Fantastic. And if you can't see anything but the self that you see now, then I'm sure Nathan can even help you to see that better self that you can become.
Yeah, that's the next part of this too. When you come and we sit and we have a chat, and I'll give you my questionnaire to fill out, and we have a chat. It's like, I see your potential. I see you as being something awesome, and I see that in you. You may not see it yourself, but I see it, and it's sort of a mission for me to help guide you there. And you may not necessarily see the awesomeness that I see, but I'll help you see it yourself to then go, oh, okay, let's transform. Because I had some awesome mentors when I was in that position, stuck. They saw things in me that I didn't see myself. And to be that person now, forever grateful to be that person that can see everyone's potential.
I love it, Nathan. Last question. Potential. Is there anything about you, your philosophy, your life, anything that would be a glaring omission in a case study of Nathan Francis and the work and life of Nathan Francis?
I had this conversation with a 16-year-old about 3 hours ago. So it's interesting that it comes up now. And I said to him, I said, bro, when I was in your position 10 years ago, I never had someone that saw me, that saw my awesomeness, and that was able to provide a space to just listen. And I said to him, I said, if I had that person in my life 10 years ago, even like, 10, 12 years ago, I could be further along. And I said, I don't hold on to that regret, but you're in a position right now at 16 to have someone here that can see all of your awesomeness, that can see the greatness in you to help guide you there. I said, mate, let's go.
Good deal, Nathan. That's what you said? Is that what you said?
Oh, yeah, I did say that, yeah. And it's just a matter of, you know, to be that person for anyone. It's a very wonderful thing.
Sure is. So Nathan has shared where you can find him, and you can always find me and all of my links at jeremywest.net. And I just want to thank Nathan Francis one more time for coming on, and we'll talk to you again soon, Nathan.
Sounds good. Bye. Thanks for having me, Jeremy.
Thank you. Bye.